Last week we began this series of lessons from the book of Proverbs. And the first six verses kind of served as an introduction to the entire book. And in it we began looking at what it meant to gain knowledge, to gain wisdom, understanding, judgment, discernment. And we looked at how knowing what those were and how we applied them would help us live the kind of life that God would accept. This evening's lesson really focuses on, I guess you'd say, giving advice from God to especially young people. Now, the advice certainly applies to everybody of any age, but especially to younger people. And there's some advice here that is just profound. It is so wonderful. So I hope we can follow along and learn from this advice because it's such a practical book. He begins this section in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7 with what many people call the theme of the book. What is Proverbs about? Very simple. It's summed up in verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. If anyone is going to learn anything from the book of Proverbs, if anyone's going to come to gain wisdom and knowledge and be instructed and learn how to make judgments and discernments, it all has to first come from or stem from this fear of the Lord. This deep, deep reverence for God, for His holiness, for His purity, for His sovereignty. The person who greatly respects and holds God in awe and in reverence will come to be a person who learns, who has wisdom, who has understanding. But if a person never has that awe and that reverence and respect, they will not be someone who is wise in God's eyes. And that, in essence, is what the entire book of Proverbs is about. It's the difference between those who respect God and those who don't. Those who fear God and those who don't. Those who hold God in reverence and awe and those who don't. That's the difference between these two classes of people. And chapter after chapter after chapter makes that distinction between those two classes of people. The kind of decisions one makes, the kind of decisions the other makes. And in tonight, he shows us an example. He gives us an example in tonight's lesson about the one who fears the Lord or the one who pays no respect to Him and the kind of decisions they make. The one who fears the Lord makes wise decisions. The one who is a fool doesn't. The one who doesn't revere God makes bad decisions. So there we have the theme, if you will, of the entire book. But just think about it a second. If someone doesn't really have a reverence for God, doesn't hold Him in high esteem, they're not going to spend much time studying the Bible anyway. I mean, they're not going to see the benefit of spending time and energy and effort to even find out what it says. They're not going to do that because they don't hold God in reverence. They don't respect Him. So they're not going to spend much time in His book learning about what He desires of us. So it's no wonder that He says, fools despise wisdom and instruction. And that statement is true of about all kinds of things, not just spiritual truths. People who despise learning, being taught, instruction, people who don't think they need to learn, don't think they need to be taught, are foolish. It doesn't make any difference what you're talking about. That's true. But the most important area is about spiritual truths. That person who doesn't believe they need to be taught spiritual truths is the worst type of fool. Solomon makes that clear here. There are those who are foolish and there are those who are wise, And the distinction between them, the difference between them, is great. And Solomon says, if you want to have the kind of life that is a worthy life, an honorable life, a good life, then you're first of all going to have a deep reverence and respect for God. Something that for the most part is lacking in our society. So no wonder our society makes terrible decisions, because they don't have a very great reverence for God. How can they? You're not going to make good, sound decisions if you don't respect God, who brought everything into existence, who even gave you your own soul. You're not going to make good decisions. And so much about this book is about making good decisions. Who makes them? What kind of decisions are good? What kinds are not? The book of Proverbs uses the word fool frequently. Solomon will say, a fool is one who? A fool is one that does this, or a fool is one that does not do that. That word is used very often in the book of Proverbs, because there were foolish people back during the time of Solomon, and there are foolish people here today, and there will be foolish people, the Bible says, when Jesus returns. And it's all based upon the idea that they don't have a deep reverence and respect for God. And so they make foolish decisions. But those who respect Him and revere Him and hold Him in high esteem and honor Him are willing to be instructed, are willing to be taught. And because of that, they gain wisdom to make good decisions. That's what the book of Proverbs is about. Verse 7. That sums up the entire book. Now Solomon takes from that and applies that idea, especially to young people, but the idea certainly goes to other people as well, and we need to learn from it. So here's the instruction, beginning in verse 8. He says, my son, hear the instruction of your father, and do not forsake the law of your mother, for they will be a graceful ornament on your head and chains about your neck. Young people, and this has been true since the days of Adam and Eve and will be true until the end of time, young people are to, you know, honor and respect and revere their parents. Yeah, we don't see much of it today. There's no doubt about that. But that doesn't take away from the fact that they're supposed to. They are. And one reason they are supposed to here is to receive instruction. But just like if people don't respect God, they're not going to listen to Him. Children, if they don't respect their parents, won't listen to them. So he makes that analogy. That's why verse 7 comes before verse 8. Children learn respect and they learn how to be taught. They learn those concepts at home long before they ever apply it to following God or anything else. Learning to respect parents is one of the first things children need to learn. Some children never learn it. And guess what? They end up making foolish decisions. They end up making bad decisions. Parents' fault? Nope. It's that child's fault for not respecting their parents. Their parents have things to teach them. Really, the first 9 chapters of Proverbs really deals with lessons that younger people need to listen to. Instruction they need to receive, so they become wise and they can discern good from bad, right from wrong. But if young people are never willing to listen, they're going to end up making terrible, terrible decisions. And that, of course, is rampant in our society. I mean, children today make awful decisions. And most of it goes back to that principle. They don't respect their parents. They don't respect God. They don't respect those people who can teach them to make good decisions. And if they don't respect them, they're not going to listen, and therefore they're going to make bad decisions. No one makes good decisions unless they have respect for their parents and respect for God. That's what this book tells us. So he starts out by saying, you know, son, hear the instruction of your father. Don't forsake the law of your mother. What they can teach you is good. Do all parents do a good job of teaching them? Oh, definitely not. But in general, is this true? Absolutely. Some parents never learned respect and reverence themselves, so they don't know how to teach it to their children. And you also see that a lot in our society. The parents never learned that, so therefore they are not teaching it to their children. They don't know about respect, and they don't know about holding God in high esteem. And if they don't know that, they're probably not going to teach their kids that. And their kids will probably end up being worse than even they were. So we have, as parents, a great responsibility to teach, because children need to learn respect and honor. And frankly, a lot of them never will. They just won't. Our society kind of disdains children learning respect. Sad, but it's true. Very sad. So Solomon here is saying, son, if you want to be wise, if you want to have the kind of life God approves of, hear the instruction of your father and mother. You know, the Israelites, when the law of Moses came into play, were told to honor their father and mother, that their days would be long upon the earth. Exodus chapter 20. Honor your father and mother. And that goes to listening to them, respecting them, submitting to them. Why? Because they do have some things to teach you. Just the fact that they've lived longer than you have means they probably learned a whole lot more. And probably a lot of that was from mistakes. Good way to learn. And that's okay. But he says, listen to them, because there are some things they can help you avoid. Some pitfalls, some traps. And he mentions a couple of pitfalls and traps in this lesson tonight. So they have something to tell you. Will they listen? Some will and some won't. But Solomon says, if you're wise, you're going to pay attention. You're going to listen. And by doing that, there'll be a graceful ornament on your head and chains about your neck. This is, you know, these are things of beauty. And he's not talking about physical chains. But by listening to your father and mother, you're going to develop a more beautiful character. That's what he really is trying to bring forth there. Not that you're physically going to wear necklaces and bracelets and things like that, but by becoming someone who is wise and listens to instruction, you're going to develop a character that is better, that's beautiful in God's sight. And that's how he likens it to wearing this outward jewelry. You're going to have a more beautiful character. And if you teach school, you see a lot of teenagers that have a far from beautiful character. Matter of fact, some of it's just flat out ugly. There's a lot of ugly teenagers out there. And I'm not talking about outwardly. A lot of ugly teenagers. Most of it can be traced back. No respect. And they don't listen. Solomon says it's wrong. And God holds them accountable for that. So he says, now that he's told the younger people to listen to the instruction, now he says, here's a way that it's going to keep you from making bad decisions. He says, my son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait to shed blood. Let us lurk secretly for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them alive like Sheol, and whole like those who go down to the pit. We shall find all kinds of precious possessions. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in your lot among us, Let us all have one purse. Well, that happens all the time, doesn't it? You start to listen to the wrong people. That's what these young people are doing. They're listening to the wrong people. Solomon just simply calls them sinners. He says, if these wicked, evil people come to you and entice you, now they're not going to come up and say, hey, let's go down and steal some stuff from 7-Eleven. We'll probably get caught and have to stay in jail for a while. That's not enticement. That's not what they're going to say or do. And that's what he says here. He says they're going to entice by saying this is going to be real easy. Won't be any problem. Won't get caught. Won't anything negative happen to you. This will be an easy way for you to get something, money, drugs, alcohol, whatever. It'll be an easy way for you to do it. You just come with us and we'll all be in this together. It says that we'll all have one common purse. We'll all be in this together. None of us will get caught. It'll be easy. Won't be any problem. And that's how they entice you. Come along. Don't be no fuddy-duddy. I don't think that term is used anymore. But that's what he's saying here. Just the sinners are going to say, just come along and be a part of us. See, they're enticing you. And it could be any type of sinful activity imaginable. You name it, it would fit in to what he's talking about. It could be stealing something down at 7-Eleven. It could be going out drinking or going out and doing some drugs. Or it could go whatever. You know, any type of sinful activity would be included here. And so they're enticing you to do something wrong. They even say, let us lurk secretly for the innocent. They know that what they're doing is wrong. Well, let's do it anyway. We'll do it fast. He says, just like people are swallowed alive like Sheol, that is the grave, just like people go quick into the grave, that's what we'll do. We'll do this real fast, no chance of being caught. We'll find all kinds of precious possessions. Oh, man, we'll get all kinds of wonderful stuff. It'll be great. See, they're enticing you. We'll fill our houses with spoil. There's going to be so much that we get. So just cast in your lot with us. Just come along and be with us. And we'll all have one purse. All have one purse. They're very, very good in what they do. Because Satan is ultimately behind this. Satan is ultimately behind all enticements to do anything that's wrong. Well, here's what he says. Solomon says, my son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your foot from their path. For their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood. Well, that's the first part of his advice. Simply, don't go with them. Don't hang around them. Don't even be seen with them. Why? Well, if you're not around them, and you don't go with them, if you're not seen with them, they're not going to entice you. So have nothing to do with them. So what if you're shunned and you're an outcast? Big deal. Don't be a part of them. Solomon says the answer is pretty straightforward. Not necessarily easy to do because they're enticing you. But the answer is simple. Don't go with them. Don't be with them. Don't hang around with them. And therefore you won't be enticed to go with them. You won't be a part of them. That's what he says is the advice. He says, because their feet run to evil and they make haste. Remember, he calls them sinners. That's what they're trying to do. He says, surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird. There are so many lessons from that one verse. So many different ways to take that teach some truth. First of all, obviously the idea is that sin doesn't pay. Never has. It doesn't. Sin doesn't pay. Regardless of what it is that these sinners are trying to get you to do, it doesn't pay. first thing we can learn says, in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird. Well, if the trap is there, birds, if they make wise decisions, do what? Avoid the trap. See, they see the trap. See, that's what Solomon is wanting these young people to realize. There's the trap. There's the enticement. They're trying to get you in. They're trying to deceive you. Solomon says, if you're wise, you'll see it for what it is. You'll see it as a trap. Because once you do one evil thing with them, they have you. Now they can always start using that against you to do more evil things. So Solomon says, realize it for what it is. It's a trap. And if you're wise, avoid it. Realize it's nothing more than a trap. Sin doesn't pay. But there's other lessons to get from it as well as that. In Barnes' commentary, he mentions a bunch of different things that we could get from this. Here's one. It says, the great net of God's judgments is spread out, talking about this very thing, open to the eyes of all, and yet the doers of evil, willfully blind, still rush into it. People who are evil tend to continue to do more evil. They rush into it. And they continue to do it. As he mentions in the next two verses. But they lie in wait for their own blood. See, they get caught up in their own trap. They lurk secretly for their own lives. Sometimes we talk about we reap what we sow. I think that's another lesson from that verse. We reap what we sow. If we see that trap and walk into it anyway, we're going to get caught. And we're going to reap what we sow. We get caught drinking, get caught doing some sort of illegal drug, get caught taking stuff at the 7-Eleven, we're eventually going to get caught doing those things, and we will pay for it. And sometimes young people think, you know, oh, that's funny and all that stuff, but it haunts them. It comes back to bite them. So that trap is a deadly trap. I think that's another lesson we get from that verse. It's a deadly trap. And that trap is always open and will always get certain people who don't make wise decisions. The people who are foolish will walk right into the trap. And that's why I mentioned in the next verse about their own blood. Their own lives. It ends up hurting them. They may not realize it, but it does. It ends up hurting them. That trap. That's what the trap does. And so Solomon is trying to warn young people about this very thing. While sin may look enticing, it's a trap. While it may look good, while it may look fun, it's a trap. And if you pay no attention, if you don't listen to your parents, if you don't listen to other adults who know these things, you'll walk right into the trap and it will take you. See, that's the advice he's trying to give young people. Avoid the traps. The way to do that is to listen to people, parents, adults. They have some things to teach you to help you avoid traps. Some people won't listen. Some young people simply won't listen, and they're going to go into that trap, period. But they're foolish. That's what Solomon calls them. They're foolish because they don't listen to instruction. But the wise listens to instruction and avoids the traps and avoids those very things because we do reap what we sow. It may not be at the very second we do it, but we reap what we sow. And Psalms 7 is a great couple of verses about this very thing. It says it in a slightly different way. Psalm 7, verses 15 and 16. Psalm 7, verses 15 and 16 says, "He made a pit and dug it out, and has fallen into the ditch which he made. His trouble shall return upon his own head, and his violent dealing shall come down on his own crown." There you have the picture of a guy, you know, he's digging this ditch, this pit, to try and catch something, and what happens? He catches himself. He falls in it himself. Because he wasn't wise. He wasn't wise. He didn't listen. And so they end up robbing their own selves, destroying their own selves. As he mentions in verse 9, the last verse, 19, "So are the ways of everyone who is greedy for gain. It takes away the life of its owners." It takes it away in a lot of different ways. But that person who will not listen to good advice, who will not listen to instruction, who totally does away with any kind of knowledge, "I just don't want to hear it," they're bound to get caught in traps. Some traps are worse than others, but they're bound to get caught in traps. And it will hurt them. Every trap hurts. Everyone does. Every trap is hurtful. And the way to avoid them, Solomon says, is to listen to instruction. And that all goes back, Solomon says, to having a deep respect and reverence for God. But if people don't have that, they're not going to listen. They'll just go merrily on their way and fall into that trap. Some traps cost them for many, many years. They may think it's fun. They may think it's, a good time. And then the trap closes. And Solomon says it can take their blood. It can take their lives. Sin does cost. We do reap what we sow. Regardless of when we do the reaping, it will come back and haunt us. And that's why Solomon says, young people, listen to those who know. Specifically, listen to parents. Listen to adults. Many of them have been there. Many of them can give you some instruction, can teach you so you can avoid these traps. But that's also true for adults. Sometimes we go merrily along our way and know there's a trap and we step right into it. The only way to avoid them is to have a respect for God and His Word and to spend time studying it, because it tells us how to stay on the path that has no traps. So we can follow that path and avoid those pitfalls and avoid those traps and avoid all those snares that Satan has put out there for us. That's the wise man. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of instruction. If you want to be wise, you're going to fear the Lord and learn from Him. Learn to avoid the traps. The invitation is yours. You need to respond. Maybe you have been weak and have been falling into traps, and you need the prayers of the congregation. Those prayers are beneficial. Or if you have a desire to put Christ on in baptism, there's no better time than now. If you have a need to come, please come as we stand and sing this song.